Blog Talk Radio.
American dream ain't nothing but another calculated scheme to get us locked up, shut up and back insane. Who denies of the future, rob our name. Kept my history a mystery, but now I see the American dream wasn't meant for me. Cause Lady Liberty's a hypocrite, she lied to me. While it's for freedom, education, equality never gave me nothing but slavery. And now look at how dangerous it made me, calling me a madman. Cause I'm strong and bold with this gun full of knowledge of the lies it told. Promise me emancipation and this new nation. All you ever gave my people was starvation. Fathers of the country never cared for me. They kept my ancestors shackled up in slavery. And Uncle Sam never did a damn thing for me. Step live by the facts in my history. So now I'm sitting here mad cause I'm unemployed. But the government's glad cause they enjoy when my people are down so they can screw us around. Time to change the government now. Panther power. Panther power. Panther power from the streets that resides within. Go toe to toe with the panther and you just can't win. Don't claim best, suppress the rest. The rich get richer and the poor take less. The American dream was an American nightmare. You kept my people down and refused to fight fair. The Ku Klux Klan tried to keep us out with signs of and state no the blacks allowed. With intimidation and segregation was a waste for our freedom, but now we're impatient. Blacks, the others get scared of sellout. Freedom, equality, get out, yell out. Don't you never be ashamed of what you are. It's your Panther power that makes you a star. Panther power. Panther power. My mother never let me forget my history, hoping I was set free. Things that were put on me, wanted to be more than just free. Had to know the true facts about my history. I couldn't settle for being a statistic, couldn't survive in this capitalistic government cause it was meant to hold us back, using ignorance, drugs, to sneak attack in my community, they kill the unity, but when I charge them, try to claim immunity, act like America, like a case of heart disease, Panther power is running through my arteries, try to stop me, oh boy, you'll be clawed to death, cause I'll be fighting for my freedom with my dying breath, do you remember, that's what I'm asking you, you think you're living free, don't make me laugh at you, open your eyes, realize you've been locked in chains, said you wasn't civilized, and stole your name, cause the time has passed, seem to all forget, there is no liberty for you and me, we ain't free yet. Panther power. Panther power. Panther power. Panther power. American dream ain't nothing but another calculated scheme to get us locked up, shut up and back insane. To deny us of the future, rob our name. Kept my history a mystery, but now I see the American dream wasn't meant for me. Cause Lady Liberty's a hypocrite, she lied to me. While it's for freedom, education, equality never gave me nothing but slavery. And now look at how dangerous it made me, calling me a madman. Cause I'm strong and bold with this gun full of knowledge of the lies you told. Promise me emancipation and this new nation. All you ever gave my people was starvation. Fathers of this country never cared for me. They kept my ancestors shackled up in slavery. And Uncle Sam never did a damn thing for me. Step live by the facts in my history. So now I'm sitting here mad cause I'm unemployed. But the government's glad cause they enjoy when my people are down so they can screw us around. Time to change the government now. Panther power.
Black power. Black power and more. Black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. This is Sean Saddam Kweli. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hills and the smells of North America. As always, I mean, this is a privilege. This is a joy. This is an esteemed honor to be able to talk to some sisters, be able to talk to some brothers and some others on this bold revolutionary radio broadcast, Black Power Radio. You know, we come to you every Monday night. This is the weekly radio broadcast of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And we are under the leadership of the great revolutionary Pan-Africanist chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga. We open this broadcast giving thanks to the God of our forefathers and foremothers who answers to many different names. And we bear witness that regardless to land, label, or language, there is but one God. And we are thankful to that one God for doing as that supreme force has always done, which is to help our people to stay on the right path and to help us to be guided with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And us being the first men and women, descendants of the first men and women on the planet, those who archaeologists and scientists call the aboriginal people, we descend from a great people and the most supreme of beings to be found anywhere in the universe. Now, certainly we know that there is life and life forms in other parts of the galaxy, in other parts of the universe, certainly with water on Mars and water in other parts of the universe. Of course, where you find water, you know there's life. But as you comb all of that universe, you will be hard-pressed to find a more dominant species, an intelligent life form, and supreme being or beings like the original black man and black woman. Now, unfortunately, we were taken from our original kingdoms and taken from our original lands. And when the slave traders took us, they did not take men and women who were in trees saying ooga booga. They did not take men and women who had bones in their noses and did not speak authentic languages, making grunting sounds. They took scientists. They took mathematicians. They took astronomers. They took engineers, took manufacturers. They took constructionists. They took the fabric of our nations, which we already had in existence thousands of years, while the white man and the Caucasian woman were still crawling in the caves and hillsides of Europe. And they were walking around on all fours and eating juniper roots and eating each other. The black man and black woman was already civilized and already had our civilizations and already had ruled in many parts and most parts of the world and had coalitions with other aboriginal people in other parts of the world. And so as your forefathers and foremothers were forcibly tricked by Caucasian people and tricked by Arab people and tricked by high-ranking Jewish people and tricked by even greedy Africans and taken on a westernly course here to what we call the hells of North America, first being taken to the Caribbean and stripped of original names and stripped and beaten and maimed of original language and separated from original culture and folkway and foray and norms and robbed of the power of our own being. Our people brought here to America for the express purpose of being made into slaves and to be made as the workers for the colonies or the 13 later colonies that will be built that now have formed the United States of America. So in the very fabric of America and in the very fabric of this country, you have the crux and the foundation of the black man and the black woman who still to this very day are the crux and the cornerstone and the foundation of the black nation and the foundation of the white nation. We are the building block and the building blocks of America. And so your forefathers and foremothers who labored from the morning to the night with very little rest in between and very little proper nutrition in between of a healthy dietary and healthy practice and healthy culture, your forefathers and foremothers were unable to pass on to us original mother tongues and original mother culture and original history. And so we grew up in America not knowing who we are, not having our history, not having our culture, but then being forced to take on alien traditions and cultures that were not our own. And so that produced a generation of brothers and sisters who to this day hate themselves and now operate on a psychosomatic system of self-hatred and genocide. And so we thank the God of our forefathers who answers to many different names. In some parts of Africa, they call him a Kulu Kulu. They say a Kulu Kulu. In other parts of Africa, they say Yemenya. Parts of the world, they say Obatula. In other parts of the world, they may say Oshun or Ogun. Some say Asa, and the feminine is Aset. Other parts, they say Akhenaten. Other parts, they say Amen or Amen Ra. Other parts, they say Allah or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other parts, they say Allah who intervened or came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. In other parts, they say Elohim or Eloha. They say Yahweh. They say Jehovah. In other parts, they just stick one finger up in the air in praise and thanks in reference to the one God and that one goddess, because the masculine and the feminine are twin halves of the same divine essence. And so we're thankful to that divine regenerative force of the black nation that has sent many messages to us, many messengers to us, and many warners to us, and many great freedom fighters to us. And so we bear witness, like the scriptural scientists bear witness to those like the Abrahams and bear witness to the Moseses and bear witness to the Jesuses or the Isas or what they call the Yeshuas and bear witness to the Muhammads and bear witness to those scriptural episodes of that history. We also bear witness that Nat Turner was among those sent by God. We bear witness that the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey was one of those sent by God. We bear witness that Queen Hatshepsut was one of those sent by that God. We bear witness that Queen Nzinga was one of those sent by that God. We bear witness to Prophet Noble Jew Ali and bear witness to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and bear witness to Minister Malcolm X and bear witness to Minister Louis Farrakhan and bear witness to the Black Panther Party, Huey P. Newton, Bobby Seale, before them, Kwame Ture, Bob Brown, Mukasa Ricks. We bear witness to the BLA and the Black Liberation Army. We bear witness to RAM, Revolutionary Action Movement. We bear witness to all of those who came through that great line of divine to get us up out of the mud and get us up out of the rut and put our minds and our hearts back together as we had been dismantled and turned upside down and inside out. And so among those who were sent from the great divine, that great heavenly body, that great celestial universal force and forces, we bear witness to the formation of a Dallas, Texas-based organization that started in 1989 after the onslaught of COINTELPRO, meaning the counterintelligence program of the United States government. We bear witness to the formation and the reformation of the Panther tradition. J. Edgar Hoover thought that he had a victory and thought that they had won to destroy the Black Power movement and destroy the organizations that championed liberation and championed salvation and championed the return of the black man and black woman to our divine essence and divine regenerative force. But there was an organization that sprang up in 1989, the same year that pigs had assassinated Minister Huey P. Newton, that same year, from that spirit of a man who was in the Black Panther Regiment of the 1970s named Michael McGee. He began to move and organize in the Panther fashion with the group called the Black Panther Militia, moving into Dallas, Texas, and organizing with a man named Aaron Michaels, who organized with some others, and they formed what was called the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And then in 1998, a black man who had been supreme captain of the mighty elite Fruit of Islam, a security force of the Nation of Islam, and national spokesman for Minister, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and national assistant for the Nation of Islam, and the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, and lieutenant before that, in the ranks of General Idi Amin Dada. He organized as national chairman from 1998 into 2001, where he made his spiritual transition, left physically from amongst us, but his energy, his power, his wisdom, his guidance, and his fervor lives forever in the black nation and forever in us. General, the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, he trained many soldiers during his tenure in the Nation of Islam and during his tenure as national chairman of the New Black Panther Party, and all throughout the hells and smells of North America, brothers and sisters in no organization, no formation at all. There are many cubs, many students of the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad out there in the radio listening audience and in the world. He trained a black man and shaped a black man and fashioned a brother to take his place among the people and take his positioning as national chairman in his absence to keep the ball rolling and move the struggle forward. The brother is a Howard Law School graduate. He is a practicing attorney and a brother who organized a group called Unity Nation to bring our people together, to bring our people into the right formation and revolutionary practice of resisting oppression. He was a man who passed his bar exam on his first try, his first time going in. A brilliant black man and a brother who has a big heart for our people, shaped that way by God. You've heard him called the Attorney at War, and I gave him the title, the Attorney General, which is what he is. He is an attorney at war, but he's an attorney general, and he earned that rank of the five-star general, and he was our chairman from 2001 into this recently, 2 months ago, 2013, 2 months ago, where he finished and completed his term and his assignment as national chairman. Now our chairman emeritus, meaning a person who has served their term, and he is now a spiritual advisor to us. He is a party attorney and the party attorney for us, and of course our chairman emeritus, Attorney Malik Kazulu Shabazz. And there was a brother who also worked with the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad and is a student of the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, and a man who served as his national assistant and later his national chief of staff. A brother who came from the roots of the New Black Panther Party coming up out of Dallas, Texas, with a group that he organized and formed himself called MIA, the Metropolitan African American Think Tank, organizing black men and women around Pan-Africanism, revolution, black power, and black laws for all black people. He crisscrossed this nation with the Black Power General for many, many years, several years up and down the West Coast, up and down the East Coast. Whatever the general needed, he was there to make sure it happened. Some of you saw this brother on Donahue in his African garb and attire, asking the general questions so that he could spark the minds of the people there on Donahue. You saw him there at the African Holocaust Conference, holding the pictures up for the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad of our people stacked and packed into the slave ships. I'm talking about a brother who is our national chairman, and he is affectionately known to us as the professor. We're talking about our national chairman now and standing, Minister Hashim Nzinga. Black power to the radio listening audience. We greet you, of course, in our ancient tradition, our African tradition of peace. We say Assalamu Alaikum. We say Hotep. We say Shalom. We say peace to the gods and peace to the earth. We say freedom land. We say black laws for all black people. Say Allah for your name. And as our black power general say, what's up? We're here on Black Power Radio giving you that national update and that live breaking news on what's going on in the black time and where we stand. There's so much happening. And, of course, many of you know that we're coming up on the celebration, the official celebration of the Black Power General, as we do every year. We will remember and celebrate the life of the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, the life and legacy of the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad this coming January, born, birthed into the world January the 12th, 1948, came into this world. And so we will celebrate this January in New York City, the great bold black man who told you that his purpose was to give the enemy hell from the cradle to the grave. And so stay tuned for information on that, how you will be a part and you can participate in celebrating the life and the legacy of men to step foot in the hills of North America in the last century. And of course, you know, we're pushing up on our national summit, where we will have guests from all across the country. As you've been hearing us talk about the National Conference of Black Mayors, and you've been hearing us talk about the honorable mayors like Chokwe Lumumba and so many others of our friends, the Bun Bees and others who back us fully and support us fully, and we expect and will be expecting mass participation and their participation in our summit and their summit, so that we can organize. What is our summit? Our summit is to come together to organize around the problems of our community, to put out some solutions, to come away from the table with some real solutions so that we can put some things in practice and make some things work for our people so that we can relieve most of the pressure that is on us collectively. It is a collective struggle. It is not a one-man or a one-woman struggle. This is a collective struggle that we must work together on. We must come together. Out of all the things that we have done, we have not come together in unity to struggle. We want to send condolences to the family of that great patriarch there in Azania, what they call South Africa. We send condolences to the family of Madiba Nelson Mandela of the ANC. And even though we have historically, as a party and organization, shared revolutionary differences with some members of the ANC and some of the things that transpired during the one man, one vote, and all of that transpired with the great Nelson Mandela, we give that man his respect and his honor for standing strong when he stood strong, and for taking the point when he took the point, and for fighting against the apartheid regime of South Africa or Zania when he stood and fought against the apartheid regime, and all them years, 20 plus years in the South African prisons languishing. We give that man his honor and his respect and his due, and we got no disrespect for him, as we are way too disciplined and way too well-trained from the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, way too well-trained from Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz, way too well-trained from Minister Hashim Nzinga to disrespect the great works of a man who languished 20-plus years in prison cells, no matter our political or revolutionary differences. And so respect and honor goes out to the family of Nelson Mandela and Sister Winnie Mandela, who we look forward to seeing the next time God blesses us to touch the soil there in Azania, South Africa. Okay, so respect and ashe to Nelson Mandela, who has now made his transition into the realm of the Egun, or the ancestral realm. Okay, and we also say to those out there who may feel a little bad right now about that, keep your head up, because the struggle continues. A luta continua, the struggle continues. We got to give respect out there, no matter our differences, political differences at times. We give respect to Reverend Al Sharpton out there, who stood up strong and talked about people in the U.S. sugarcoating history. And he wanted to make sure that you did not forget that Reagan and the U.S. and U.S. imperialism opposed Mandela and his fight against apartheid and his fight out there. A lot that's going on out there. They're mad at President Obama out there for taking pictures of himself during the funeral. And you got Megyn Kelly running around out there trying to push white nationalism, as she always does, and they always do, down the throats of the children, down the throats of black children in America and children in America in general. She's pushing white nationalism, trying to force the people to believe in a white Santa Claus, white blue-eyed or brown-eyed Santa Claus, and reminding the people, in her words, that Jesus was white. Fox News guilty of pushing white nationalism. Host Megyn Kelly guilty of pushing their white nationalism, but we don't expect nothing less. We say, as Minister Newton taught, that we do not expect the white American media to produce any positive black male, or in this case, black female images. And so we are responsible for producing our own images. That's why we want you to continue to support National Black TV. Continue to support National Black TV. A lot happening all over the place. North Korea executing Kim Jong's uncle and all kind of stuff just going on all over the place. It is definitely a very, very trivial time in the world, but if you are focused on your program, New Black Panther Party, if you're focused on the mission, revolutionary, if you're focused on the cause, nationalist or Pan-Africanist, it is a perfect time to organize, and it is the right time to organize around that which is true. Okay, coup attempts happening all over the place, all over the place in the National Congress of Black Mayors, all kind of stuff. Our national chairman is going to talk to you about that. But suffice to say that we are wide awake in this hour, and we are not missing anything at all. We are wide on our square. We are wide awake on our square. And I'm happy to tell you, brothers and sisters, that the New Black Panther Party is growing by leaps and bounds. Now, I know that we have been relatively quiet. And I know some of you all are not used to the Panther Party being this quiet. You're not used to us. You're used to normally hearing us make some kind of skirmish in the news media, or sometimes, you know, hear a little sound bite about us here and there. But we are building, and we are retooling, and we are restructuring and rebranding and reorganizing in a way to better serve you. And so bear with us and bear with our national chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga, as he puts the nuts and the bolts together and puts the nails down into the floor and builds the house and builds the boat so that it's secure and it can get us safely onto the other side. And so with that said, I want to, at this time, bring on our national chairman who will take us further into our program. Help me, brothers and sisters, to welcome and to bring once again to our Revolutionary Radio broadcast our national chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga. Black Power, sir.
Black Power, Brother Sean. Once again, we want to thank you for your not being selfish and endless. I don't even know how to say it. Your endless work hours of keeping the message strong and out there for our people. If nobody ever tell you, I want to tell you we love you and appreciate your consistency. It's very important in the Black Nation, in the building of the Black Nation. And you are a comrade that well deserves those words. We want to say Black Power to Black Power Radio listening audience and to the new Black Panther Party members all over the country and all over the world, and to the movement that we built over the last 20-some years called the Black Power Movement, which entails of black people who are not Panthers, but grow to love our work and grow to love the work of our former national chairman, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, of 12 years, and our former national chairman in general, the Honorable Dr. Khaled Muhammad, and just watching the Black Panther Party work and build a black nation and locked arms with us, and there's a wealth of people in this nation that I just love, 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 because they recognize our principles of Maya and balance and just been on board through so many events and so many times we didn't hit the street with so many people. I want to welcome everybody to Black Power Radio. Sean, as you probably announced on the second hour of Black Power Radio, we got a historical organization coming on who is no new name in Black Power Radio. The National Conference of Black Mayors will be on with us the second hour. A lot of people may wonder, why are we dealing with the black mayors and why are we bringing them on the show and what's going on? And well, when you are a member of the new Black Panther Party and you're helping us build this Black Power movement, if you study your 10-point program, the new Black Panther Party and what the new Black Panther Party wants, you will obviously see, number one, we want freedom. We want the power to practice self-determination and to determine the destiny of our community and the black nation. And one of the greatest revolutionaries of all times, the Honorable Brother Malcolm X, said you have to control the politics of your community. That's where it starts. So on the second hour, brother, we will have the National Conference of Black Mayors, NCBM. They represent more than 650 African-Americans. Now there's 666 African-American mayors across the United States collectively, and they oversee 48 million black people. And we're working toward getting with them to make sure our communities are not vulnerable, in the especially in the area of redevelopment, in jobs, in schools, and in an area that we absolutely understand as the new Black Panther Party, which is point number 7 of our 10-point platform, and we want immediate end to police harassment, brutality, and murder of black people. And the black mayors are the ones who hire the black police chief and who makes the decisions of where the money go in our cities when it comes to that, and many other points we can make, but we have a unique situation to have a unique relationship with Sister Vanessa Williams of the National Conference of Black Mayors, who is the CEO and the director of the organization. And the reason we're going so hard at the National Conference of Black Mayors, we just told you that they control 48 million citizens, our day-to-day activities in our cities. But Sister Vanessa Williams has took it to another level. And under working with us in her early days as the national director of this organization, she partnered with me, and we brought Attorney Shabazz and Minister Farrakhan to one of her national conferences about 7 years ago and changed the outlook forever. And then we brought Dr. Leonard Jeffrey to her, and she used Dr. Leonard Jeffries to do something that absolutely has had a profound effect that we'll talk about tonight on the National Conference of Black Mayors. And what he led the young sister to do is understand that you may have 666 million, excuse me, let's be correct on our language, you may have 660 mayors in America, but you need to start a global outreach with the National Conference of Black Mayors and extend it. And under the leadership of Dr. Leonard Jeffries, she listened to him and she reached out and extended this thing internationally to Africa, Colombia, China, Haiti, Brazil, Jamaica, the Bahamas, and many, many other countries that we'll talk about tonight. So now she has at her fingertips over 22,000 mayors around the world. And when we're talking about the new Black Panther Party, we're talking about the responsibility of the new Black Panther Party to teach our people about global and international relationships, which we definitely need. And it would bring the light on development and economics and infrastructure of the new Black Panther Party being an organization. Well, now we're an institution. We're more than an organization. We're an institution. And we can be the ambassadors of a lot of these countries that we'll talk about later, that I have met leaders of other countries, and we have met leaders of other countries through her leadership and putting us on a list to travel with the mayors into these other countries. And she don't hold back no punches. When we go with her, we represent the Black Panther Party. We don't bite. And Dr. King say, we don't scratch where we don't itch, and we don't laugh when ain't nothing funny. And we keep our information dealing with the area of the cutting edge revolutionary work that we're doing to sustain our neighborhoods and sharpen the leadership skills in the new Black Panther Party and the projects that we need to be working on in our cities and on an international basis. And we'll get into that, some of that later. But right now I'll leave that out there, and we'll start that at 9 o'clock. And we just want to go back to some new Black Panther Party talk, which we done had a lot of guests on over the last 5 or 6 months. And we done dealt with gentrification and reparations, and we've been dealing with all kind of growing issues in our community. The program has been very, very Sean, it's been very, very important to our people, keeping them up on our political presence and what's going on in our communities. But tonight we want to take a break and slow things down, and we just want to talk about some house cleaning because some things have developed over the last couple of months since Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz And we want to congratulate him on his very, very, very successful meeting on Saturday in Washington, D.C., bringing the great minds together and over 700 people together in Washington, D.C. to talk about gentrification in his city and using the National Conference of Black Mayors and the New Black Panther Party to put a forum together in the community that was, man, it was so successful. And it'll be on his website, Black Lawyers for Justice, by tomorrow, and people can see it as an entirety. But we want to slow down and go back to our organization and the development of us growing 20-some years later and what's going on since Attorney Shabazz has moved on to use more of his time in the legal area, which and still is and will be a visor and a dynamic brother and Conrad in the New Black Panther Party. I just want to officially say that the New Black Panther Party is very, very needed in this hour. I was in Atlanta, and I was invited by Kendrick Johnson's father to speak at the Capitol on the Kendrick Johnson situation. And for the listening audience, that's our young brother that was out in Valdosta that was found in the gym mats, murdered, and his family and many, many other people came to Atlanta on this past week to ask Governor Dales to reopen his case as a murder case. And brother, I went to that Capitol, and I saw Martin Luther King III. I saw the NAACP. I saw members of all the organizations. And I saw some of the great black attorneys. And out in the audience, I saw congressmen. I saw and talked to lawyers and State Representative Brooks and others. And as different speakers were speaking, Brother Sean, it really started to bother me that all of these successful black people and grassroots people surrounded the racist capital of Georgia, and they were talking about asking a Republican governor of a red state who enjoys the Tea Party badgering the United States to say that Kendrick Johnson was murdered. And the whole press conference and all the people surrounding the Capitol just want this white man to come out of the Capitol and say Kendrick Johnson was murdered. Man, it reminded me so much of Frederick Douglass, Booker T. Washington, Sir John the Truth, and so many others. It looked at like slavery. It looked at like 1700s and 1600s around that Capitol. We looked at like children asking a slave master to come out and say this young African-American beautiful brother was murdered. And I'm not going to take away from the strategy of the attorneys or the strategy of the father and the mother of Kendrick Johnson, which Attorney Shabazz has built a great relationship through hard work from Brother McHale out in that region of Florida and us going back and forward to Valdosta and other areas, making sure we stay on the New Black Panther commitment to being there for our community. So we do like to work in unity, and we do like to keep division down. But as the national chairman of this organization, I have to say it's going to come a time where we have to wake up and understand that if Governor Dale of Georgia come out of his office or look out the window of the Capitol and say it was a murder, they're not going to prosecute these white boys in Valdosta who are protected. Why would I say that? I would say that, brother, because if, for the listening audience who's naive about this Kendrick Johnson case, is a very, very serious case at a very, very serious time in our history, especially following the Zimmerman-Trayvon Martin case. And everybody can see now in the world that we were right to put the damn pressure on Zimmerman, and they can see he's a damn fool and an idiot. And white people lost bad on spitting in his hair and putting him in a nice suit and think they can dress up this mass murderer, bipolar, crazy maniac. And so to come right behind the Zimmerman case after they freed this murderer to let this Dylan Vidosta go down, which we have heard different facts from a lot of people, that these are some young white boys, that some kin to the sheriff in Vidosta, that chased Kendrick in the gym and murdered him and wrapped him in that mat, and for a man to be wrapped in a mat and said he climbed in there to get a damn shoe in the middle of class at a high school that has 3,000 students, has 40 to 60 teachers and principals and vice principals and custodians and another four or five police who work on the campus. You leave your math class to go to your science class in the middle of the day, and you just climb in a mat, and they thought they got away with that and buried the young man. But then his family didn't care about the dog and pony show. They raised the money and got an independent investigation on their son's death and dug that body up and got a new examiner to look at that body. And as we all know, the tongue was missing, the brain was missing, the lungs were missing, the intestines was missing. Everything in the young man's body had been replaced with Walmart coupon paper. And the new examiner say this young man died from blunt force. His head was fractured like an egg that you crack. That's not suffocation. And so the trial, so the case is supposed to be reopened as a murder case, and it hadn't been yet, and they're still fussing over it. But the gym that Kendrick Johnson's body was found in has been torn down and rebuilt. Now they got 9 cameras in the gym, and they show him going in the gym and getting chased in the gym, but then they cut the cameras off. And as we know in Black Power Radio, if 2 kids have a fight on a school bus, they would show it on the 5 o'clock news. But now all of a sudden, the cameras don't work. We can't get the footage that would clearly show if it's an accident. Let's show the accident so nobody won't have an accident again. So we know it's something terribly wrong there, and we know Kendrick was murdered, looking just like Emmett Till when you show the pictures to the world. And you want us to gather at the Capitol and beg you to say it's a murder when we know it's a murder. And my point to the black family, to the black nation is, if we have an African-American president from Kenya that's a mile, and we have a black attorney general, Eric Holder, which has the power to prosecute anybody in the land, including the president, why are we asking a fat, funky white man in Georgia to do this when we need to be in Washington, D.C., putting the pressure on Obama and Eric Holder to do the right thing and stop this suffering and pain of our people over and over again? And they wonder why the new Black Panther Party act like we act. So on that note, we're trying to work with the family, and we'll be in Vidosta January 12th to work with the family again, but we're leading to a higher ground. We can't keep begging these crackers to stop killing us, and we sure can't keep begging them to take themselves and turn themselves in and prosecute themselves. It ain't going to happen. So on that note, I said all that to say it just showed clearly through the fog and the forest through the trees how badly the new Black Panther Party is needed in this hour, how badly we are one of the few organizations that still talks about political prisoners, one of the few organizations that still even have a concept to talk about reparations. We're one of the few organizations that still understand and say the word black power. We're one of the few organizations that even talk about or mention self-defense. We're one of the few organizations that all over the country, from England to South Africa, and down there in every city in America, that still on any day we could hit the streets and change the direction of our people. We have that power, and thank God that we're keeping the mission of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad Strong and our loved chairman who made a legacy of his work, Dr. Malik Shabazz. Now, Brother Sean, in the last 10 minutes, I want to say this to those who may be confused and those who may be hearing about emails circulating, and for those who might not know what's going on. I would just say this. The truth will always be reinstated. Have faith and be devoted to this cause, because we are a people of Maya. The concept of Maya is living balance. And Dr. Khalid Muhammad used to repeat the principles of Maya to me all the time. He loved to talk about truth, justice, harmony, balance, order, man, I'm telling you. The bottom line is, I got my daughter messing with me. I'm sorry, y'all. The bottom line is, we're timeless soldiers with a legacy of being balanced. And the key word is balance. And people are trying to figure out what's going on with the new Black Panther Party right now. Brother Sean, as I heard you talking about, we're being quiet. And I don't believe we're being quiet. We're just committed. We're having at this moment in this time to have to open our ears to the truth, and we have to watch the hidden hand. Brother Sean, am I still on?
Yes, sir. You're still on, Bishop.
Okay. I had dropped the phone. I had to get it back. I'm sorry for the listening audience. We're in a very, 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 very delicate time, and I don't think that we're at a crossroad because we're focused, we're committed, and now we know where we need to go with this organization. But the developments of late is making us bag up a little bit, slow down a little bit, because a lot of people are calling me from all over the nation saying, Brother Hashim, when we going to really hear from you? We're hearing from a lot of people, but when are we going to hear from you? Well, I remember the Honorable Dr. Khalid, who I was blessed to serve with for 7 years. He said, you heard a lot about me, but now it's time you hear from me. And for the people who love the new Black Panther Party and love righteousness and got 100% black blood, we've been a quiet strength for a long time. But we understand the message to the black man and the black woman. What has developed over the last months for the new Black Panther Party has been good for the new Black Panther Party. It gave us the time to look at ourselves. And I've talked to members and non-members and members who used to be members over the last month, and I've listened closely to them. And some of them, I think, are upset because they didn't think that people were getting their names mentioned. People then were feeling left out of this 20-some years of work. People were feeling like they should have positions, or they should be in positions, and on and on. And I feel their pain, and I understand. But I want them to know that no soldier, female or male, who does the work where at any time the work is overlooked, because we do this work for God and God alone. And, brother and son, as you know, in the many, many, many years of the African struggle here in America, you hear about Harriet Tubman. You hear about Ida B. Wells. You hear about Nat Turner. You hear about Denmark Vesey. You hear about Marcus Garvey. You hear about Adam Clayton Powell. You hear about Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney. You hear about Congresswoman in 1972 who ran for President Shirley Chisholm. You hear about Madam C.J. Walker. You hear about so many. But there's always a time in the black nation where when you hear about King and the SCLC, there were so many people who worked in the SCLC, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, that never made the news, that never made the articles, but they did the work. There was many, many people in the NAACP. Their names wasn't mentioned like Thurgood Marshall, Benjamin Hooks, or like Ben Chavis and Julian Bond. And their names weren't mentioned like the great National Secretary and Field Marshal out of Mississippi, our brother Megger Everett. Their names weren't mentioned like some of the people who started their legal defense fund, like Attorney Shabazz is doing with the Black Lawyers for Justice, Charles Hampton Houston. When you get into the revolutionary movement and you start to talk about Stokely Carmichael, H. Ralph Brown, Jamil Amin, or you start to talk about Bobby Seals or Fred Hampton, Mark Clark, or Angela Davis, or some of the greats of that original party. So many soldiers' names are not mentioned. You had over 10,000 people at one time moving around under that name in the 70s and the early 60s. But so many names weren't mentioned, but they were doing the work. And when I got with Dr. Khalid Muhammad, I was with him 4 or 5 years before he even gave me a mic to introduce him to come on the stage. But I was with him. You'll see me on all the videos. You'll see him calling my name. But nobody knew who I was. I was just doing the work. Doing the work, brother. And so I say to the people who don't think they've been appreciated over the years, and the people that don't think their work was important, it only takes one brick in a building to start the building to cracking. Your work has always been important. Your time has always been important. Your suffering has always been important. Your family has always been important. It's just in the movements, not in the New Black Panther movement, in all black movements. Everybody on this phone knows Nelson Mandela. Everybody on this phone knows Steve Biko. Everybody on this phone knows Winnie Mandela. Everybody on our radio listening audience know Nkrumah. They know Lumumba. They know Joe Kenyatta. They know Nefertiti. They know Nefertari. They know Hotep, Imhotep. But think of the thousands of names that you don't know. When you go to your Christian Bible, you know Joseph. You know Peter. You know Moses. You know Aaron. You know Paul, but look how many thousands and thousands you don't know. So I'm saying don't develop a spirit that if your name is not mentioned, that you're not important. If your name is not mentioned, that you ain't a part of this legacy. If your name is not mentioned, that we don't appreciate your strength and the value of what you do for this organization. But if you in this organization only for your name to be mentioned and for you to be highlighted and for you to be talked about, then maybe you need to reevaluate why you're in the organization. And then you say, well, Brother Hashim, that could be hypocritical. It could be hypocritical. No, it's not. There ain't an organization we can name like if we go slip over to the Nation of Islam. Everybody know Malcolm X. Everybody know the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. Everybody know the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Brother Wahuddin, his son. But as we keep naming names, as you spread out to a local level, you might know your local ministers. there's thousands of people in the nation. There's thousands of people you buy that final call newspaper on the corner from that you don't know. But that soldier who's selling that paper to you on that corner is the foundation of the Nation of Islam. And he knows that. A lot of people don't know who Mukasa Rick is. But Baba Mukasa Rick was in the struggle, part of the struggle, and helped make the struggle become what it was. So I'm saying we have to slow down and understand clearly on this phone tonight that the reason I took the post of national chairman of the New Black Panther Party, because in those same bylaws and those same people who questioned those bylaws who voted them in, if a national chairman steps down and he's not impeached, as you would say, or not put out the organization, then the national chief of staff takes his post. And the national chairman is loved by thousands and thousands. You can't put out a memo or just get on a typewriter and type up something, and then it becomes law or makes it real. And I don't like the idea of a man working from can't up, can't see in the morning to can't see at night for an organization and bleeding for an organization and risking his life for an organization and spending all his finance in an organization and always holding his post in an organization and always showing up in an organization and always being respected. And everybody who's been a hypocrite to some degree now was begging this man into their cities up until last week, trying to bring him into their cities up until last week. The man worked his ass off, and then you're going to use the language of dictatorship. In the future, we're working on it now chronologically. All the steps have been taken, and I want not to fight, not to argue, but what do dictatorship mean? It means to keep you from doing what you want to do. But I want to question some people. It's easy to put a statement out there. That's fine. Anybody can do that. Anybody can type and get somebody to edit it and get your head together. But I'll never forget the invisible hand that Minister Farrakhan talked to me about. The white man is always lurking to destroy a black organization, especially when it's done become an institution, Brother Sean. And dictatorship means stop you from doing what you want to do. And next week, we're going to be going city to city, because as chief of staff, I didn't want this post as national chief or chairman. But when the chairman tried to do it in a democracy and bring a national table together, the national table meeting was recorded. And in the recording of that national table, it was said that we're going to have a national summit. And somebody brought up they wanted to have it here or there. Said, let's vote on that on the next call. Everybody agreed, and everybody broadly agreed. But by midnight that night, emails went out that a national summit was already being held, the date, the place. So that means it was already constructed, and they didn't give a damn about democracy. Now that is dictatorship. And we got that all recorded. That's dictatorship. And so when that happened, I wasn't on none of those calls, because I wasn't chasing this position, because I ain't no position type man. I just do the work for 20-some years. But when that happened, I wasn't about to let Dr. Khaled's legacy and this institution fall that low where a man will give everybody a chance, even members who ain't been around in 10, 5, 6, 7 years, and then get stabbed in the back before midnight like that and then acting like he started this mess. No, he was fair. He was balanced. He did it in harmony. And then somebody did something they didn't supposed to do, which caused this mess we're in. And so at this point in time, We ain't going to rush to judgment, but we're going to deal with facts. And the first thing I did when I took this post is ask every member in good standing, because you got to deal with the members in good standing first, to write in if they was chairman of this organization, what would they want to see different? What would they want to see change? I didn't get to giving orders and telling people what we're going to do. I told every member in good standing, because we got to deal with members in good standings who got applications on file in city first. And I was going to compile all of what the members wanted this organization to look like and put it together, and it takes time to do all that, then have a national summit 2 or 3 months down the line and bring all these new ideals and these young people and some of the veterans' ideals together so we can rebuild, restructure, and let's move forward in harmony. And that's what we're still going to do, because the members in good standing wrote those letters and we got them piled up and we're going through them. And we're going to have our national conference of the new Black Panther Party in February, and we're going to announce everything we're doing over the next 3 weeks. But we're not rushing. We've been doing this 23 years. We don't have to impress nobody. We don't have to please nobody. We don't have to please the white man or the black man. All we have to do is be effective. And I want everybody in the new Black Panther Party to wake up and understand right now we got the world on our shoulders. And we're going to be dealing with some black economics. We're going to be dealing with all the points of our 10-point platform. But black people are hurting now for the truth and hurting for good leadership. And for the first time in our history, we're not rushing to do no event. We're not rushing to do no speech to get known or our name known. When we talk to the world, it's going to make a difference. When we design and do something and sign off on it, it's going to make a difference. And we're going to walk down this street and we're going to do this right. We ain't rushing. Then there's some threats out there and this and that. Well, guess what? That's been going on since the day I met Dr. Khalid Muhammad. His life was threatened so many times and assassinations attempts on his life. Attorney Shabazz's life was threatened so many times. My life has been threatened so many times. If I report it every time my life gets threatened, hell, I'll be a punk, some nigga hiding under a bed. That's part of the territory. But I tell you this, ain't going to be no new Black Panther Party on slaughter on neither side. And I just say this, be careful with these threats that's going on out here, because a now black organization have done this thing to perfection. We're all struggling to be better. We're all struggling to become more effective. We're all struggling to help our people more. So ain't no situation here where the new Black Panther Party, after 23 years, is no punk to nobody. We don't disrespect other organizations. We work with damn near 100% of black organizations. And we have been on the front line for many black organizations, and many Negroes' names wouldn't even be known if we wasn't to give them a microphone to speak from with the many, many, many national and international conventions we've done. So I say, in respect of Dr. Khalid Muhammad Mayotte and balance of the black nation, the new Black Panther Party is not no garbage disposal or no trash can you dump trash in. We are mothers, fathers, uncles, aunties, and we are human beings that have never been on nobody's payroll and never got paid for our work. We do this because we love black people, we love the black nation, we love our history, and we want to see things change. And that's what we'll be about today and tomorrow. The only difference, we're a lot smarter than we used to be, and we're not paralyzed. And we understand what Noble Drew Ali talked about. We understand what our brother Jamal in, on Philadelphia death row is going through, because we write and we correspond with our people. And we are right now in a critical time, Brother Sean, and I done went over to our 9 o'clock hour, I see. So at this point, I'll stop and say we're going to be giving, we're going to be coming to New York to do a Khalid Muhammad tribute on his birthday in January. We're going to be coming in the eastern region, and we're going out to the west coast. We're going to Texas. We're going to be going to Washington, D.C. in February for our National Black Summit. We're going to be doing a powerful, powerful program in Atlanta in January. The best is yet to come. And I tell all the new Black Panther Party members in good standing, keep writing your letters the rest of this month. Keep telling us what you want to see. Your voice will be heard. Black Power.
Black Power.
Brother Sean, if you can, I don't know which mayors we're bringing on, but let's go to the top of the hour and let's say to the listening audience who may have just joined, we're going to be dealing with the National Conference of Black Mayors in this 9 o'clock hour. And Sean, if you can bring up our guest, I think we're going to have the National Secretary of the National Conference of Black Mayors, Mayor Nash, on. If you can bring him up, I'll give him a great introduction and go over what's going on and let him, as the National Secretary of that organization, tell us what's going on for the Black Power Radio listeners can understand what's going on with our mayors and our conference, National Conference of Black Mayors. And Sean, if you got any questions, you can chime in. If the listeners have questions, they can come in at a certain point.
Okay. Yes, sir. Our guest is on live. You're on now with Mr. Hashim Zinn, our National Chairman in Black Power Radio. Welcome, man. Black Power.
Good afternoon. Good evening. How you all doing?
All right.
We're
you're
doing
on,
great, Mayor Nash. Mayor Nash, let me
yes,
say
sir.
This. We want to thank you for coming in from the great state of Arkansas, which has so much black history. And we want to thank the National Conference Black for Black Mayors. And we want to thank the CEO and the executive director for being so faithful to coming on Black Power Radio and empowering us with her leadership and telling us about you great guys of 600 and some African-American mayors that has over 48 million African-American citizens under your leadership in your institution. And Mayor Nash, I was in court for about 8 hours with you earlier this week, and it really, really messed me up. And I listened to audience and heard this. I'm going to tell them now. And I'm just going to talk for 3 minutes, Mayor Nash. Then I'm going to let you have
all right.
it. Because
all right.
I've been knowing Vanessa Williams, your executive director, for now going on 9 years. And I saw her do something that I just don't see people do. I seen her take this National Conference of Black Mayors, and I know you're going to bear me witness. And I seen her go to the small mayors to the largest mayor and restart their cities with programs, millions of dollars worth of programs, to get the black inner cities going again. And then at a certain point in time, I seen her take this thing international and deal with Haiti and Uganda and South Africa and Nigeria. And I seen her go in a couple of months ago, go into South America, and talk to her today. She's getting a ticket to go into Bermuda. And I've seen her do so much, and our people really don't understand, Mayor Nash, how much power black mayors have and how many of our cities are populated with black mayors. Just, for instance, I was looking in y'all National Conference book, seeing that Philadelphia has over 1,500 and some thousand people, and 43% on black. But then I watched Detroit, which now is under a white mayor soon, has 951,000 and 81% is black, and now we got a white mayor. But I said that to say something. I watched Sister Vanessa take this conference and take it international and went from serving 666 black mayors to now y'all have reached out globally, and now y'all have touched and are touching over 22,000 mayors internationally all around the world, and it's done made somebody upset. And I love to say this, Mayor Nash, in my closing remarks before I turn it over to you. I watched her go out and help young people become mayors, and I watched her work with Kelvin Johnson, who's been the mayor of Sacramento, California since 2008. He was the 55th mayor of Sacramento and the first African-American, and I watched her help him become who he is. But I watched some this year at y'all 44th convention in Atlanta and recorded it with my own cameras. I watched sabotage, and I watched him stab her in her back so deep, and I didn't understand it. I never seen nothing like this in my life, and now I can say this on open record because I took the time, which we do in the Black Panther Party, to go to court and sit next to you this week, Brother Nash. I seen documents presented to a judge that Kelvin Johnson started a year or so ago and was using the word coup and was trying to bring the National Conference of Black Mayors down. And I believe now, after being in that courtroom and listening and seeing how it was done, that he was sent by somebody to destroy the movement, the global movement of you mayors, because there's no way you can succeed as a mayor. I see the mayors bringing in Mercedes in Alabama, bringing in Kia in Alabama, bringing in BMW, bringing in Africa. We are a global nation, and mayors need to be able to work globally, and somebody don't want us going globally, and this is her main mission. And Mayor Nash, at this point, we have a very, very political-minded audience, and they might want to ask you some questions, but I want you to give us the update of what you think going on with the 666 black mayors and the National Conference of Black Mayors and the 22,000 that y'all have reached out to abroad, and y'all was bringing it all together, and then somebody done threw a boomerang in it to slow it down.
Well, let me thank you all, first of all, for having me on. I'm the mayor of a city, Gould, Arkansas, which is Southeast Arkansas, community, 847 people. And I became mayor of this community. This community is 106 years old. I'm the fifth African-American mayor of this community, which this community is 98% African-American. I'm the fifth African-American mayor, and I'm the youngest African-American mayor. And I joined the National Conference of Black Mayors back in 2010 because I saw the necessity of me being an African-American mayor to come together with other mayors so that we could bring our resources and our knowledge together to help each other. Now, with that being said, me personally, I am not shocked at what is going on in our conference. And the reason why I am not shocked is because the conference sometimes seems to mirror the city that I am mayor of. Because if you go in Yahoo or you go in Google me, you'll see that a few years ago, just a couple years ago, last year, while Ms. Williams was going through her battle with National Conference, I was also battling here in my own community to pull my community forward. We have to understand that we as African Americans, we are very powerful. I looked at a study back here about 2 years ago. By 2015, African Americans will have amassed $1 trillion of spending power in the United States. White America makes $2 for $1 that we spend, but yet we spend more. We have less, but yet we spend more. Somebody out there, and I don't know who it is, but somebody out there has decided that the National Conference of Black Mayors is doing too much work, doing too much good work, and somebody I feel as though is threatened by Vanessa Williams and her heart, because if you have to know Vanessa to know the heart that Vanessa has. Nobody works for an organization for free if they don't have a heart. And there have been times for this organization that she has worked for free, that she has traveled out of her pocket in order to move this organization forward and to help us as mayors. I've told Vanessa and I've told other mayors that I'm just astounded of how a person like her who does, who has never been a mayor before, but she thinks like a mayor. She thinks of things for us that will help move our communities forward and help bring them together. Now, what has happened in our organization is that somebody has to, from what I can see, and I may be wrong because I'm human, so I very well may could be wrong, but somebody has promised somebody something somewhere down the line for Mr. Johnson to do what Mr. Johnson is doing. At our annual convention this year, I sit there and I watched the things that went on, and I was horrified at what went on. This document that came out in court about the coup, who in their right mind, Brother C, who in their right mind sits down and put a plan on paper how to take over the organization? Who in their right mind writes the resignation of our present president, Mayor Bowser, from New Jersey, from Orange City, New Jersey, can I just stop for a minute and talk about Mayor Bowser? Mayor Bowser is an amazing leader. He has diligent. Mayor Bowser turned 79 years old while we were in court. Matter of fact, the first day we were in court was his birthday. And this man is, as far as I'm concerned, this man is a legend among mayors, because he has moved his city forward, he has moved his organization forward. And Mr. Johnson had the audacity, a year before he was going to come into office, he wrote Mayor Bowser's resignation for him. And that document also came out in court. And everything that came out in court, he said his staff did it without his knowledge. His staff did this, his staff did that, his staff did this, his staff did that. He hasn't done anything according to him. His staff has done it. Whether he realizes it or not, it's his staff, he's responsible. I'm the mayor of the city of Google, Arkansas. Everything starts with me, everything stops with me, no matter what my staff does. My staff doesn't do anything without me knowing about it. And I feel the same way about him. Someone has put together a systematic plan to destroy our organization. And the sad part about it, whoever it is using the same tool that's been used all the time. And that tool is, they use us to get us. They never come themselves. They use black people to get other black people. And we have to understand, as a people, whoever has you holding me down in the ditch, you need to realize that you're getting just as wet as I am, and that person's on the bank, and that person's laughing at both of us. They're laughing at me being held down, and they're laughing at you being silly enough to listen to them and be convinced to hold me down. If we as mayors come together as African-American mayors, we can control our destiny. We can have the lobbying power. We can have the governance power. We can have the financial power to move our cities forward, to move our neighborhoods forward, to move our country forward as it needs to be moved forward. The work that we're doing internationally, we have gone, National Conference of Black Mayors have gone across this country. They've gone to Columbia. They've gone to Cartagena, Columbia. They've gone to Cali, Columbia. They've gone to seven different African countries: Ghana, Senegal, Angola, Bermuda. They've gone all across this country where they're a black mayor. Hey, I'm 44 years old. I had no idea that there were as many black people in Cartagena, Colombia, or Colombia, period, as there are in Colombia. I had no idea. I met a guy from Ghana, Africa, and he has 5 million people, and he's a mayor. That's amazing to me. But his problems are the same problems I have. So they have created a network of not only national mayors, but they have also created a network of international mayors. that we can work together to do trade agreements. We can work together to trade ideas. We can work together to trade resources so we can move our people forward. I think it's a shame, and I'm going to end with this and get questions from you. I think it's a shame, and I think it's horrifying of what Mr. Johnson is doing to our organization. And Mr. Johnson isn't by himself. There are founders. This organization was founded in 1974, and there are founders of this organization that are working along with him. And I am ashamed, as a young African-American male who respects my elders, I am ashamed that our founder of this organization is riding along with a rogue president, a rogue person who thought he was president, but he's not president, that is trying to destroy this great organization. The things that Mr. Justin is doing and the things that the founders are doing are not the things that this organization or the founders founded this organization on. And we as mayor, we cannot stand for this. We have to stand up against this. I've been very vocal. I tell people all the time, I'm too young to be scared, and I'm too old to be foolish. And I'm not afraid to stand up and say, hey, Mr. Johnson, you are wrong. And one thing I promised Vanessa, and I promised this organization, the things that happened before, they would not happen on our watch anymore. We would not leave her alone to fight this battle by herself for one simple reason. This is not her battle. This is our battle. This is not the Vanessa Williams Conference of Mayors. This is the National Conference of Black Mayors. And I would say to Mr. Johnson, if I was looking him in his face, I would tell him, this is not the Kevin Johnson Conference of Mayors. You don't make the decisions for us. We have a board, a bona fide board, that makes decisions for this organization. Let me say this, and I will end, I'll take courses. I want to make it plain. When the special task force was created, the only job of the special task force was to bring information back to the organization. The organization has never, I am the assistant executive secretary. Before that, I was a regular board member. Mr. Johnson himself asked me to be a board member. I have never been present in a meeting in person nor on phone call where we gave Mr. Johnson the authority to file any lawsuits. We have never given him the authority to do anything with any information that he has gathered. And much of the information that he has gathered, he has manipulated, he has twisted, and he has told blatant lies about the information that he has gathered. He has used that information in the way that he wanted to use that information and not the way the information was given. So there are a lot of untruths and a lot of half-truths that Mr. Johnson has put out there, not only on Ms. Williams, but on his organization, period.
Okay. Brother Sean, am I back up?
Yes, sir. You're loud and clear.
Well, Brother Nash and Mayor Nash and my brother, you laid it out. But my background is I ran a think tank for like 4 years, and it was some of the most intelligent people I've ever been around in my life who helped me put it together. I got to give them the credit. But one thing my leader, who's an ancestor now, taught me is you don't talk, you don't move, you don't engage until you've done your proper research. And if you ain't going to go put time and sweat in, leave the people alone who's putting the time and sweat in. So, Mayor Nash,
correct.
I know you really might not know my background, but I met Sister Vanessa Williams 9 years ago when she first came to the National Conference of Black Mayors. A brother gave her my name and said, when you get to Atlanta, call Brother Hashim. He's a powerful brother, and he'll help you. And y'all were on Cleveland Avenue at that point, and she came to this organization, and the organization was in so much debt and had been derailed, and she was making, she out of Berkeley University, and she was rebuilding cities, working for a Jewish company at that time, and the Jews was going in, and she went in like the spook who sat by the door and learned how they were going in, saving black mayors' cities with bonds and this and that. I don't know all the language. But she helped save a couple mayors around the country and another organization, and they told us, sister, we need you over here with us. She left her good future, her good paying job, to come to an organization that was in the negative, and to bring, and her mother was an original Panther, to bring that spirit, and her father was a politician, to bring that spirit to life. She left white America to come help the black mayors. And she suffered for that.
Yes, sir.
But she slowly started to dig them out of the hole with her innovative ideas, with her listening skills, and being so darn young, only 20-some years old. And I watched her in them 9 years take this organization internationally. And I'm so disheartened. I helped her set up the conference, Mayor Nash in Baton Rouge, when President Obama came, when the keynote speaker. I helped her set up the one in New Orleans. I helped her set up the one in Tennessee. I helped her set up the one in Columbus, Ohio. I helped her set up the one, two in Atlanta. I helped her set up one more conference. So I've really been on the ground with these conferences. In 2013, when she brought the conference to Atlanta, and I was just with Mayor Kasheem Reed today, because I'm engaged in my community, and the New Black Panther Party is engaged in our communities, and we want our communities to move forward, and we want our young people to be safe. We want education. We want everything that you was talking about you've done as a young mayor in your city. And I just want to say this, that I watched her take this thing and risk her life going to Libya, going in the Middle East. I'm sitting here looking at a picture of her in Uganda, and all over the world. I watched her bring Russell Simmons and Magic Johnson and so many different people to this organization to help it, Shaquille O'Neal, all kind of people. We'll name that all day. But for Kelvin Johnson, which she helped coach into his position, to come in and I videotape this with my own camera on the ground, and I watched him give a speech, and I can tell he was up to something, and I can tell he was a sneaky, no-good bastard. And I sit there and watch that man give a speech and say we're going to have to stop the international movement, and we're going to have to deal with home first. And Mayor Nash, I'm going to be quiet after I say this because it's very important for me to say this. As he was giving his speech at the conference of 2013 in Atlanta, Georgia, with all those mayors and all those people in that room, that conference cost the National Conference of Black Mayors almost $800,000+ to put on, and at least $600,000 to $700,000 of those dollars came from the international mayors. And you sitting up there talking about you want to stop the international side. There's not a country, there's not a state, there's not a politician, there's not a president that don't deal with China, don't deal with Uganda, don't deal with Ghana, don't deal with South Africa, don't deal with Kenya, don't deal with England, don't deal with Canada, don't deal with New Mexico. There's nobody in the world that's a leader of a people that is not moving international with all of this new technology, with these fast planes. And Dr. Martin Luther King out of Atlanta, Georgia, said what Kelvin Johnson said from the Birmingham jail when they attacked him. He said they want us to move at the pace of a horse and buggy when they moving at jet-like speed. Now, for an NBA player who I think is a Republican and married to a Korean woman to come among black mayors and tell us to start back moving at the pace of a horse and buggy, that's what you're telling people when you tell them don't deal internationally. You got to be told to do that by that. But what shocked me, Mayor Nash, and I want you to comment on this, I was so shocked that you said clearly, and to our listening audience, the National Conference of Black Mayors is 44 years strong. I mean, they was having a 44th conference They started in 1974, and the reason a National Conference of Black Mayors was started in 1974 was because the National Conference of Mayors, like all institutions in America, was not treating the African-American mayors fair in their conferences and in their work. So we separated from the National Conference of Mayors and became the National Conference of Black Mayors under Mayor Ford in Tuskegee, Alabama in 1974. And I believe, like I told you my history with the National Conference of Black Mayors, I believe the founder, Ford, has gotten jealous of the progress, the forward progress, and he worked with Kevin Johnson and the white man behind the scene because he nominated Kevin Johnson to be president, and he wasn't in good standings. That came out in court. He didn't even have a right to nominate the man. But this coup that they did on Vanessa, now we know because the documents is at the judge's desk, started a year or so ago in Sacramento, and it's been paid for by the city of Sacramento. But if Mayor Ford, which I have a lot of respect for, now I've seen this clearly, and I will be calling him, nominated Kevin Johnson and moved forward to shut down Vanessa and the board and all the members in good standings of the National Conference Black Mayor, this is a tragedy to the 50 million-plus black people that's dependent on these black mayors. And we were moving and are moving in the right direction. And Mayor Nash, I want you to tell our listeners what we can do to help, because can't nobody shut this group up that you're talking to tonight.
Well, let me say, first of all, shortly after I came home from the National Conference and I started getting word, well, let me say, first of all, at the National Conference, okay, we had our annual meeting. The next day, there was a meeting that was called. That meeting was not a planned meeting. That was a special meeting. The reason why I know it was a special meeting because the room that we were supposed to meet in, we couldn't meet in that room because they were having something in that room. So they had to find another room for us to meet in. In that meeting, Bob Johnson from BET showed up in that room. The mayor that was in that room, including myself, were led to believe, because it was said specifically by Mr. Johnson. It was said that Mr. Bob Johnson is here. He only has 15 minutes, and he's catching the airplane. But at the same time, I'm looking at my program, and my program said that Mr. Bob Johnson was supposed to speak to the mayor at 4:30, so I'm wondering why is he here before 4:30 in the middle of the afternoon wanting to speak to us. Then from that point, this lawyer firm, I think the name of it is Ballastar or something of that nature. I may not be pronouncing it right. Well, anyway, they were presented to us by Mr. Kevin Johnson. And they were presented to us as if they were there to help our counsel, our general counsel, through Winter. They were there to help her. But come to find out, they were not there to help her. They were there at the request, and they actually worked for Kevin Johnson. They actually said, he actually said, that the work that they were going to do was going to be pro bono. Now, in the back of my mind, I was thinking to myself, if all we're doing is find out things about the taxes and the W-2 form and the W-9 form and those type of things that were not filed, why do we have a law firm? Why do we not have an accounting firm to come in and do this work? See, I'm from Arkansas. I'm going to just be honest with you. Anybody from Arkansas not stuck on stupid. And I'm one of them that's not stuck on stupid. So I'm thinking to myself, why do we have a law firm? Then we were led to believe that Ms. Williams knew about this meeting. Come to find out, she didn't know about this meeting because she was at her son's graduation. Now, Let me explain the structure of our organization, and now I tell you what the people can do to help us. The structure of our organization is such as a city manager form of government. In a city manager form of government, you have a city council or a board of directors. The mayor it's the same person as the president of our organization. That person is a figurehead only. They serve at the will and the pleasure of the board of directors. The executive director, who is also the city manager, that person is in charge of the day-to-day operations of this of our organization. Just like the city manager is in charge of the day-to-day operation of the city. Okay? I have received numerous calls from Kevin Johnson's office, just as all other mayors have. I have received calls from a person in his office named Ashley Lowe. She identifies herself. This is Ashley Lowe from Mayor Kevin Johnson's office. She's calling me, asking me about National Coming to Black Mayor's business. Like I said, everybody from Arkansas is not stuck on stupid. I'm asking myself, why is this lady calling me about National Coming to Black Mayor's business? She doesn't work for the National Coming to Black Mayor's. We have not hired her. She's not on our payroll. Why is she calling us? Why isn't my executive director calling me? The moves that he was making, I'm thinking to myself, why is he not working with our executive director? That's who he's supposed to be working with. The president of our organization does nothing but be a figurehead. That's all he is. He's a figurehead. He goes out. He helps raise his funds for the organization. He goes out. He makes speeches for the organization and things of that nature. But the day-to-day operation of this organization is left to the executive director. And as the president, you make no move without the board of directors authorizing you to make that move, either by the bylaws that we have, and we do have bylaws, so either by the bylaws that we have, and for the record, your listeners, we are operating under bylaws from 2009, 2010. We're not operating under bylaws from 2008, 2003, or 1999. None of those bylaws are we operating up under. And Mr. Johnson knows which bylaws we're operating up under. He said in court that the only bylaws he had were from 1999. He joined the organization in 2009. I joined the organization in 2010, and even I have a copy of the updated bylaws. I want to know, you've been in the organization a year longer than I have, and you don't have a copy of the updated bylaws, and you are the president, and you don't have a copy of the updated bylaws? Something's wrong with that picture.
Let me say this. Mayor Nash, when we were at the conference here in Atlanta in May 2013, first of all, let me take my hats off to the Honorable Mayor Robert Bowser of East Orange, New Jersey, because we got a lot of problems in New Jersey. And I was telling Mayor Bowser, the new Black Panther Party been working on the street on black-on-black crime and all kinds of stuff, and he's going to have to work with us and pull back some of them police off us and let us do our work. And he agreed, and I just, you know, I believe he's a legend too, like you. And he along with Vanessa came to our Million Youth March in New York this year, and he spoke at our Million Youth March as the president of National Conference of Black Mayors. But what I didn't like in that courtroom, Mayor Nash, is Kevin Johnson, first of all, was the first vice president on the 2012 board of directors. And for him to be a first vice president and to sit there in that courtroom with that old crooked white judge and sit there and act like he don't know nothing going on when he done paid for the coup, and they got emails from his emails all around the country building the coup and watching the coup unfold, started the negative publicity on Sister Vanessa with these white anchor men in Atlanta who blood is dripping from their mouth like a dog to slow down the black mayor's movement and trying to put every black mayor in jail for some white mayors do every day. We know how that works, but I'm just saying this. And then to sit there under oath and keep saying over and over again, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And he's talking about he's going to change the direction of the black mayor, and he sit there for 8 hours and couldn't answer one question and acting like he don't know nothing about the National Conference of Black Mayors. But anyway, I was glad you and others have went through the pain taking and undertaking to get Sister Vanessa up to handle him, because if that's all they got to send at us, then they going to fail miserably, because this man is so weak And he's not a politician. He's a basketball player, and we got to remember that. That's why he's going to be so easy to get out of the way. So let's talk about this before the listening audience get in. Let's get Kelvin Johnson out of the way, because basically, listening audience, Kelvin Johnson, with a lot of supporters behind him, pulled a coup on the National Conference of Black Mayors 2013, got voted in illegally, and started to fire people who was moving us toward Africa and global work and good work. And he was sent to slow this organization down by somebody, along with the, from what I'm hearing now, the founder of this organization, snooping around. But anyway, we're going to get to the bottom of that. But I want the Black Power listening audience to understand what's going on in your backyard. We have 666 black mayors. That's over 50 million people. And a coup has been attempted on their organization. And we're going to stop it dead in its tracks, because I'm planning in the future, Mayor Nash, to work close with the National Conference of Black Mayor and Sister Vanessa and people like yourself and the new elected board to get in here where we can get on the ground and do what Malcolm X say, control the politics of our community. Now, Mayor Nash,
let me say one
you
thing.
Being, like you say, the youngest and wise and bold as you are, what is the next steps when we get Kelvin Johnson out of the way so we can get back on track and be about the business of the poor people, poor black people who are at the bottom all over America? And Dr. King said in 1963, he had a dream, but in 1968, he said, we have received a check that came back with insufficient funds, and we're at that point again. America is writing bad checks again. What do you look forward to doing as a young, excited mayor in a very good position and on the board to direct a global and international attack for our people?
What I'm looking for in our next step, as I move to the next step, let me agree with you that Mr. Johnson's still on that witness stand, and he said he didn't know anything that was going on, but the coup document was from his office and had his name on it and had his handprints all over it. Ms. Mira Juku, the former mayor of Cougar, Mississippi, she sit on the witness stand, and they handed her the minutes from the board meeting with her signature on it. She said that is not my signature on those minutes. I have never seen those minutes before. She said that Kelvin Johnson's staff is the one that typed up the minutes for her and signed her name to the minutes. She said that in the meeting, in the court case. So there's definitely a dead cat on the line somewhere. Now, what we have to do from this point, we have to put our organization back together. That's the first thing we got to do. Our organization has been wounded by Mr. Johnson and whatever fascist group that has brought him up to do this. We have to put our organization back together by letting all our mayors know that this organization is 44 years strong. It's not 44 years old. It's 44 years strong. We need to go into our neighborhood, especially our small African-American communities. We need to teach them how to use the system to better themselves. And I'm not talking about the AFDC system. I'm not talking about the welfare system. I'm talking about the system where we use money to leverage other money to move our communities forward. I'm talking about how we need to teach, and Ms. Williams knows how to do this. She's an expert when it comes to community development, when it comes to new market tax credit. Here in Arkansas, the big cities in Arkansas have been using new market tax credits all the time. I have identified, along with another gentleman, $5 million for my community on a new market tax credit to put a grocery store and a retail store in my neighborhood. And we have to go across the country and go across this land, internationally and nationally, and teach other mayors how to do this to move their community forward. But in the meantime, what we need every African-American mayor in the United States of America, everyone in your listening audience, we need you to join the National Conference of Black Mayors to make our voice stronger. That's what we need. Our voice needs to be stronger. There are more than 666 black mayors in this country. There's more than that. And we need every one of them to stand together strong and join the National Council of Black Mayors so we can come together. It's okay if you're a member of the U.S. Council of Mayors. It's okay if you're a member of your local chapter. But you need to be part of the national chapter as well. And then the African-American mayors that are already members, we need not just to get behind Ms. Williams, but we need to get behind our organization because we need to understand something here. What Mr. Johnson is doing, he's not doing to Ms. Williams. Mr. Johnson is not only destroying Ms. Williams, but he's destroying me. African-American mayors around this country are already targeted enough as it is by the other community. We should not be targeted by our own black people. We've been targeted as it is because we're doing good work, because we're serving our community, because we're rolling our sleeves up, and we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, and we're solving problems every day that have not been solved in years. Here in my community, I'm 44 years old. I've lived here since I was 7 years old. A school system was 60 years old, wasn't even operating properly. And I'm wondering, why didn't they fix this before I got here? So we have to understand that the mayors that are here now that are part of this organization, we need to see the truth. We need to call Johnny Ford, which I've called Johnny Ford. I called Johnny Ford shortly after all this started to talk to him. I've called him 3 times since then. I have yet to get a phone call from Mayor Johnny Ford of Tuskegee, Alabama. I still have a lot of respect for Mayor Ford. I really do. But Mayor Ford, if you're listening, and if somebody else is listening that can get word to Mayor Ford, I need to talk to you because he is a founder. He is the one that has the founding principles for this organization. And I'm sorry to say, Kevin Johnson and his actions and his whole coup to take over this organization is not a founding principle of this organization. This is not how we do business. This is not how we conduct business. If there is a problem in this organization, we need to take care of that problem behind closed doors. We should not be airing our dirty laundry on Fox 5 or any other news station in Atlanta, Georgia, in Sacramento, California, in East Orange, New Jersey, and St. Louis, or anywhere else in this country. If Kevin Johnson doesn't like me, that's fine. I'm cool with that. But if it takes us working together to move the organization forward, let's move the organization forward. And once we get the organization moved forward, I can go back to Arkansas, he can go back to Sacramento, California, and that's it until we need to get together and work together again. So those are the things that we have to do. We got to stand not only to support Ms. Williams, because Ms. Williams, people, you need to understand, Ms. Williams' family has endured and has suffered because of the actions of Kevin Johnson and whoever the people that are behind him. Do know that it's not Kevin Johnson alone. There are people behind Kevin Johnson that's putting the money behind Kevin Johnson, that's putting the power behind Kevin Johnson, that's pushing Kevin Johnson to do this. And if Kevin Johnson is listening and somebody get word to him, tell Kevin Johnson that Ernest Nash said that he should not be a prostitute for those people because those people are pimping him. And when those people use him up, they're going to throw him to the side like anybody else.
Mayor Nash, well said. And I want to say this to add to that, because I saw 3 things. See, I wasn't even tripping with no Kevin Johnson because Vanessa had been working with him, and he was on her side, and he was just fronting the whole time. But when she started saying he was sneakily being used to attack her, I started doing research, and I found out in his history something that was so shocking. First, his Korean wife, he helped get into the education system in Washington, D.C., and she destroyed the black education system in Washington, D.C. He always say he's the mayor of education, but it ain't really him. It's his Korean wife, which on Black Power Radio, we're going to give her name next week so people can Google her. Then when I start Googling him, it's on record that this man has been messing with children. He's been in all kind of cases of molestation. And it looked like him and his wife have paid people off. And then when he got to the conference, I interviewed every black mayor that was there. He the only one hid from me because he know who I am. And he always hid and ran. But then when y'all last day was here and y'all was doing the award ceremony with Nigeria and all the beautiful people from Africa, I heard him say out his own mouth, if we don't get this program started in the next 5 minutes, I'm getting on a plane and leaving. You just became president of an organization. You finna abandon the people because they didn't get started 5 minutes early. That's the kind of, he didn't come to be with y'all. He didn't come to be with Africa. He didn't come to be with the Black National Conference. He came to carry out a mission and drop a torpedo on the people. And then we was wondering how Dale Russell and this old cracker named Dale Russell got all this information and smear campaign the week before the conference. And now we know through his email he even set that up. So he's a traitor of our people. And one of the things I heard out of a lot of people's mouths, he acted as if he respected the president of the organization, which is Mayor Bowser. And Mayor Bowser said in the courtroom that he tried to get in touch with Kelvin Johnson 7 times to walk him through the process of becoming the president of the organization. And Kelvin Johnson didn't even have the respect for the man to return his call. That's another sign that he had a coup going. And now you say on the radio tonight that Kelvin Johnson, and it came out of his office, all he was doing was writing the retirement letter for Mayor Bowser instead of acting as if he respect him. So we know he's a snake, and I want to put on record on Black Power Radio, he's a snake, and I'll be seeing him in these courtrooms in Atlanta until this judge rule against him and give us back our black organization so we can move forward. And like you say, and meanwhile, in the matter of fact, what I'm going to do, Brother Sean, I'm going to let you come in because I go on and on. You know that.
Vanessa flew to Sacramento, California to meet with Mr. Johnson. And Mr. Johnson didn't have time to meet with her. She met with his staff. Then he came into the room, stayed in the room 10 minutes, and then asked her, is that all you have for me? So he wouldn't even meet with her. I've called Mr. Johnson. He hasn't returned my phone call. He sit there as president, and he said he's been president for 6 months, but he can't tell you how any of the board members became members of the board. He can't tell you that. There were even board members that he put on the board that wasn't even paid members of the organization. So nothing he's
done. One of the main things, Mayor Nash, is I'm glad it all came out. And I'm glad it's like a bump in the road because truth is the only thing that matters. And for the Black Power listening audience, what we're talking about is the National Conference of Black Mayors had a coup put together by Mayor Kelvin Johnson out of Sacramento, California, because the National Conference of Black Mayors, in my opinion, over the last 6 years under the director Vanessa Williams, have became a powerhouse, and they were doing international business. And they were bringing Nigeria to the table, Uganda to the table, South Africa to the table, South America to the table, Colombia to the table. They was bringing Haiti to the table, Jamaica to the table, the Bahamas to the tables. They were bringing the black nations all around the world to the table and has started to rise something that hadn't been moved since Mandela bombed them radio stations in South Africa, started to reconnect the black nation like Nkrumah tried to do, like Lumumba tried to do, like Joe Kenyatta tried to do with African people in America. And that's always been a threat to white America and the white power structure. And so they got this basketball player and infiltrated him. And he acted as if he loved our people and cared about our people, but he couldn't even fake it. He got down here, and we found out the truth that the whole time he was carrying out an underhanded plan. And in court last week, listening audience, I sat in the courtroom almost 9 hours with Mayor Nash and other mayors and watched this man lie and hide from the truth and finally come out with the truth that he is not have good intentions for black people in America or black mayors. He was there to sabotage this organization, and it's been revealed, and Mayor Nash of Arkansas was one of the mayors who heard the testimonies and saw what came before us. And what came before us, this man wanted to know the records of the finance department of the National Conference of Black Mayors, but he didn't go get a certified CPA to look at the records. He went and hired some people out of Sacramento, California. He already know he the first black mayor of Sacramento, California, how they feel up there. And he bought a sabotage team in and got the news in and started spreading lies and rumors.